Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Andrew Scott, City Budget Director. And I'll just give a quick overview of what we're going to do today, and then we'll dive right into it. For those of you who have been through it before and those who have not. So the first thing we're going to do today is hold a hearing on the possible uses of state revenue sharing. This is something that state law requires us to do as part of our approved budget process. So we will do that and take testimony on those proposed uses of state revenue sharing.
I'm now opening a hearing to discuss possible uses of state revenue sharing. This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the State Revenue Sharing Regulations, ORS 221.770. It's to allow citizens to comment on the possible use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the fiscal year 2017-18 budget anticipates receipts totaling $17,485,117 from state revenue sharing. As has been the case in prior years, it's proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention and police patrol services. Is there anyone here today that wishes to be heard on this subject? Come on up. We have two.
Question. Is this the testimony that we signed up for outside, or is this a different issue?
There's actually multiple opportunities. This is specific to the revenue-sharing portion of the budget. Because of state law, we go through this sort of arcane episode-by-episode process. So this is specific to the $17-plus million that's through state revenue sharing. If you want to testify on that, you're welcome now.
Can I testify on both?
Yes. You're not precluded from testifying on both. That's correct. Just so these guys don't have to, well, let's bring them one at a time. Come on up, we'll bring Star up next. Thanks, sir.
For the record, my name is Sarah Hobbs, and this state budget thing kind of blew me. I'm like totally caught off guard that this is a possible funding revenue for fire and police. Is it established how this money is going to be split? What goes to what division and what specific services will this money be earmarked toward? Or is it just going into a general fund to be spent whatever way fire and rescue and police want to spend it? That's the question I have, because I didn't see this one coming. I came to testify actually on city budget, and I'm like, what? So will those questions be answered in the process of the presenters presenting the information?
Good question, Sarah. And first of all, again, I apologize for sort of the arcane nature of the hearing, but we have to follow state law very, very closely.
I'm not angry, Mayor, right, at the fact you've got to follow the law.
So with regard to the specific expenditures, the proposed budget, which is available online, has line-by-line proposed expenditures in both the police and the fire bureau budget.
Whoever is doing closed caption, could they please post that website listing so people can see it as well,
please? Very good. Excellent. And that's on the city budget website. I appreciate it. And just for the record, because it's a new program, which is pretty cool, you can actually, if you hold your cursor over the line item, it'll open a page with a full narrative on each line
item. Is that under the open data website?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it, sir. Good afternoon.
Yes, Star Stauffer. As far as whatever, I have not looked at the proposed budget online for the Portland Police and what they're requesting. If this is still open to debate as far as the allocation of these funds, I would like to propose that some of the funds that are going to the Portland Police be reallocated towards the families of the victims of police shootings to help get them back on their feet and pay to reimburse them for funeral services, wage losses, time lost, and not only that, counseling for them and their families. I think that would be the sensitive and sensible thing to do. It would create an opportunity to reach out to that community and perhaps start bridging that gap of mistrust and anger towards the city of Portland right now. Not only that, I'm not really comfortable giving the Portland Police any more money, considering they act like impetuous children who don't have to follow the law. So that's my proposal. I'm gonna keep it short to that. Please consider allocating some of this money without dragging these families through court to these families who have lost children and loved ones to police violence here in this city. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Ted. My name is Antigonus Jarrett, and I've given testimony to you before. I have witnessed extreme police violence using military-style equipment, such as tear gas canisters and ultrasonic disturbance that, you know, makes your stomach hurt. And I worry when I see police budgets go up that the reason that we're increasing the budget is that we're going to be purchasing more military-style equipment. And as a pastor, I didn't happen to come dressed up today, but as a pastor, I feel that I have to speak out on behalf of all of the people that I see who are injured by these weapons. And I have to wonder why we have to use them and why we have to allocate money for them. Because in my mind, that money could be spent in much better ways, and we don't need to be purchasing military-style equipment for a city.
Thank you.
And specifically a sanctuary city. That's a good point. A sanctuary city where people are supposed to feel safe under our care. People are supposed to feel safe under my care, and I don't know how I'm supposed to ensure that safety when I'm afraid of the police and I'm afraid that they're going to be spending more money on buying more weapons.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Any other public testimony on this item? Any further comments from my colleagues on this particular item? I'm now closing this hearing to discuss possible uses of state revenue sharing.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. So at this point, we're going to move into the actual approved budget phase of today's proceedings. And let me just walk through sort of the run of show, because there are multiple steps that we need to follow in terms of complying with state law. So last week we had a work session to talk about the approved budget changes. The mayor released his proposed budget earlier in the month. We talked about then some potential changes council wanted to see, and then the mayor filed the approved budget, which is what you have before you, that incorporated some of those changes. And so the first thing we're going to need to do is put that, because you're acting as the budget committee, put those approved budget changes as filed in the change memo onto the table. So there needs to be a motion and a second.
So moved.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Any further discussion on the motion?
Great. And actually, we don't need to vote on that. We just needed to make sure it was put on the table. At this point, and I'm happy to go through any of the details. We did walk through those at the work session, so I wasn't going to go into a lot of detail on what those changes were. But at this point, we can entertain any additional amendments that the mayor or council may have. Each amendment that is brought forward today needs to have a motion and a second. And then we will take individual votes on each amendment as we go through.
Andrew, we have a cheat sheet that's been handed out with the updated list of amendments. Is it your recommendation we just take them in sequence?
I think that is an easy way to do it, correct.
Although I have an amendment I'd like to offer that is not on any list.
That's right, and I think there may be some additional amendments as well. So maybe starting with the...
excuse me, I just want to clarify. I believe the procedure is they moved and seconded, but we don't vote until after we've heard public testimony.
Actually, so what we do is each one is approved and seconded, and we can also put them all on the table for discussion, but each one gets an individual vote first. Before public testimony.
Why?
At that point, because what the public is here to testify on is the approved budget prior to approval. And so these amendments need to be added to what is already essentially filed. And then at that point, after we have approved after council has approved the budget adjustments in attachments B, C, and D as amended, we open it up for public testimony on the approved budget in totality.
But there hasn't been an opportunity for the public to testify on any of the amendments yet. So why would we vote on them before we've heard public testimony?
This is the procedure that we followed by state law, and so there is public testimony on those amendments. After public testimony, council can make additional changes or amendments to the budget. This is a procedural issue because what we need to do, because you're acting as the budget committee and not a city council right now, and we need to get the approved budget changes officially on the table so that the public can see what those are and then testify.
Commissioner Fritz. You have, in past budget years, I believe, raised this same question appropriately. But I also, my recollection is after the testimony, we've also come back and made the adjustments. And it's been explained to us that this is the formal mechanism of placing it before the public.
So then why would we not just vote yes on all of them and then vote on them all again after testimony?
So do we have to complete
them? Because there may be some amendments that don't have the support of council to put into the revised budget.
So if I understand, Director Scott, you're saying we take the motion and the second and we vote on them prior to public discussion?
Prior to hearing from the public, right. There is council discussion on these to determine
and then
whether
the
there's
the process subsequent to deliberations, council discussion, or testimony would be to go back and revise or withdraw. We'd have to take a vote again to withdraw something.
Correct. Right now, acting as the budget committee, you are making decisions. A majority
Got
of
it.
The budget committee makes decisions about what to include in the approved budget. So that's the process we're going through right now, as Commissioner Fish laid out. Is there support from at least three members of the budget committee to even put it on the table for the public to essentially comment on?
Very good. Does that answer your question, Commissioner? I agree with you. It's unorthodox compared to the way we typically do business. But
well, I just want to, well, so I need to know, do I need to be on the winning side of the vote which is on the table in order to move to reconsider so that we can then vote against it or
no.
Vice versa?
No.
In your normal parliamentary procedure, you have to be on the winning side in order to be able to vote to move to reconsider any particular item. So it would seem like if we even might want to reconsider it later, we should vote yes, even though we actually want no.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Commissioner Fish.
This is not a normal parliamentary procedure because, as Andrew explained, we are discharging a bill from the Budget Committee to the full Council for testimony. And my understanding, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we have the freedom to amend it any way we choose after the public testimony.
That is so
even great. Great conversation. What's legal counsel's opinion?
And I will let you know in just a minute.
Okay, keep stalling.
So I just want to know, maybe by councillor's assent, that if I want to change a vote after hearing public testimony, I would be allowed to move to do so, even if I didn't happen to support it in the first place or vice versa.
Yes, after public testimony, any member of the Budget Committee could bring forward another amendment, either to add an additional item or remove something that had previously been put in.
Thank you.
Any objection? Great, then we don't. If you find something that prohibits that, let me know. But in the meanwhile, we'll make that the operational agreement up here.
Thank you. I will do so.
So with that, then, colleagues, what I'd recommend, since we do have the cheat sheet and Commissioner Saltzman and I at least have additional amendments that we'll need to bring forward, I'll go through the cheat sheet first, if you don't mind, and we can just take the votes up or down on each of these in order. Does that work with people?
Good. Yeah, so the person who's moving them would explain to the public what they are.
Exactly. Great. So I will start since mine happened to be first. This is the Build Portland Amendment. In conversations with a number of folks, I've come back with an amendment to the language of the footnote. That was attachment D, which I'm proposing that we change. And the main changes here are highlighting for council the general fund forecast for future debt service costs as soon as the next debt issuance falls within that five-year rolling forecast window. It requires that there be a discussion with the council on the costs and benefits of proceeding with the Build Portland program. It also includes a express intent to hold a work session during the summer of 2017 to discuss the Build Portland program. And in the fall of 2017, I will, as mayor, present to the council a binding resolution to formalize the city's commitment to Build Portland. That is it. Legal counsel, do I need to read the whole thing into the record, or is it sufficient to have it on this piece of paper?
I'm sorry. Was focused on the other thing. So
I'll read
you
it.
Have amendment.
As part of the Build Portland initiative started in fiscal year 2017-18 budget, the plan includes a schedule of periodic debt issuances for infrastructure repair, rehabilitation, and replacement, period. Council directs the city budget office to highlight for council the general fund forecast, the future debt service costs as soon as the next proposed debt issuance falls within the five-year forecast time frame, and discuss with Council the costs and benefits of proceeding with the program. Council expresses its intent to hold a work session during the summer of 2017 to discuss Build Portland. In the fall of 2017, the Mayor will present to Council a binding resolution to formalize the City's commitment to Build Portland.
Mayor, second. I'm going to second this.
Okay. Commissioner Fritz just beat you out there. It has been moved. It has been seconded. Is there further discussion or questions on this particular amendment? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
So this outlines the mayor's plan for using money that will come back into the tax rolls after the urban renewal districts are finished, and using that money to build infrastructure. But the amendment says that we're going to have a further public discussion about that before we move forward with it. Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is on, well, the amendment is actually approved. Colleagues, there's two other quick ones I'd like to put on the table, and since I have the mic, I might as well go it. First of all, taxes returned from urban renewal. This is striking the entirety of section under attachment D, listed as taxes returned from urban renewal. Given that we have just approved this amendment, this simply swaps out the language that was
second.
There previously. We have a motion. We have a second. Any further discussion on this highly scintillating amendment? Seeing none, call the roll.
Fish.
Mayor, just so, again, the public is clear on this, we are affirming a policy recommendation that the mayor has made to, in effect, use some of the returning urban renewal money to fund an ambitious plan to get a handle on our backlog of infrastructure maintenance. And the mayor is sharpening his the two pieces that appear in this budget and is pledging to do a process this summer, which will result in a resolution which will lay out the long-term vision. And I strongly support that. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. And last but not least, this is a motion to amend attachment D, specifically the budget note, achieve full cost recovery for police secondary employment. The council directs the Portland Police Bureau to implement a rate model that achieves full cost recovery for the secondary employment hours worked by police officers that provide private benefit to a specific business, property, or individual. The cost recovery model shall include both direct and indirect costs, and full cost recovery rates shall be completely phased in by fiscal year 2021. I think it is self-explanatory, but the bottom line is I don't believe we should be in the business of subsidizing the use of our police force for private sector, organizational, or individual needs.
Second.
We have a motion and a second by Commissioner Fritz. Is there any further discussion before we call the roll? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
So, Mayor, as in your role as police commissioner, I'd like to know why this information was not given to me on previous occasions when we've approved the secondary employment policy, where I was specifically told that it did have full cost recovery. So I'd like to know from the Bureau what the difference is.
Yeah, and that is a fair question, and I do not have the answer for that. And it may be that there is currently full cost recovery, but I want to dot that I and cross that T and make it the policy of this City Council that there will be full cost recovery and that we will hold the leadership of the Bureau accountable for achieving that cost recovery.
That's a great explanation because that has been my request on the previous times that I've approved it. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Next up, Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I have two amendments. The first would reverse the 5% cut that appears in the mayor's filed budget for Open Signal, which provides community digital media and literacy services. And this would be paid for out of the general fund contingency.
Commissioner Fish moves. Commissioner Udaly seconds very, very quickly.
Just for our audience, Open Signal, formerly Portland Community Media, has a building on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. They are also the wonderful people that film these meetings and other public meetings and provide services through cable television.
I have found that there is no camera angle that makes me look good, so I won't hold it against them. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
So this money was is coming out of the reduction to the general fund contingency. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted.
Mayor, I have a second amendment. I have a amendment number two, which would amend attachment D, specifically the budget note that refers to the Joint Office of Homeless Services funding conversation, and it would read as follows. Title: Joint Office of Homeless Services Funding Conversation. Council directs the City Budget Office to coordinate a work session to discuss the city's role in supporting the efforts of the Joint Office of Homeless Services, which will include a discussion of current and future funding levels, insert, including funding sustainability.
Second. So Commissioner Fish moves. I'll give it to Commissioner Udaly as a second with my enthusiastic harmony. Any further discussion before we call the roll? Seeing none, call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. My first one is relatively simple. It's to amend the budget notes regarding reporting from Portland Parks and Recreation to be more realistic into the time it would take to hire a consultant to do an objective outside evaluation of the funding for Portland Parks and Recreation over the long term. So the long-term financial plan budget note would now say, Council directs Portland Parks and Recreation to develop a long-term financial plan which specifically outlines options to address system development charge funded system expansion and long-term major maintenance needs. This plan should outline alternative funding options and possible service trade-offs if new sources for operations and maintenance and major maintenance needs are not available. A status report shall be submitted to Council along with the Bureau's financial year 2018-19 requested budget. The long-term financial plan should be submitted to Council by December of 2018.
I'll second that.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Any further conversation or questions prior to the calling of the roll?
Fish.
Seeing none, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. Of course, if we can get it done faster, we will. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted.
Assuming that I might get the Bureau back, I should have said that. Thank you. My amendment number two is much more complicated, so bear with me, please. The citizens and voters of Portland passed Measure 26180 last year, which raised approximately $3 million a year from a tax on recreational marijuana sales at 3%. And so when I was taking this measure to the voters, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish voted to send it to the voters, we had a long discussion about what kinds of new things this money could fund to increase safety and to provide opportunities for small businesses and individuals impacted by cannabis prohibition. So I was very disturbed, and there was going to be a council vote, which is one of the reasons I'm putting this one on the table, because we do need to vote on the allocation of that $3 million of ongoing money from the marijuana tax. The proposed budget, or what's on the table, would allocate $2,300,000 plus funds to fund existing programs within the Police Bureau, leaving only $500,000 to be used for that other critical small business support and expungement of records, and only $125,000 to go to Vision Zero to reduce traffic fatalities. The allocation in the proposed budget is $1.8 million for the service coordination team in the Police Bureau and $500,000 for the Traffic Division. It doesn't increase any services. It merely uses marijuana money to pay for these services. And so my request is, thinking back to those three purposes that we put in both in the ballot measure and in the city code, which is largely public safety, traffic safety, and support for small businesses, I would like to make it a little bit more fair than allocating $2.3 million to the police, $625,000 to Vision Zero, and only $500,000 to the third category. So here is my amendment. And what I'm suggesting is that since Vision Zero is very dear to three of us, with Commissioner Fish's mother, Commissioner Udaly's father, and my husband having died in traffic crashes, that the urgency of Vision Zero is now. And every day it seems we hear about more fatalities on the streets of Portland, which could be prevented with better education, better traffic dividers, and better education to people about what they can do to be safe. And so I would, the amendment says, reduce the current ongoing recreational marijuana tax fund allocation for the service coordination team by $1,464,858 and reallocate that to fund Vision Zero safety traffic work on an ongoing basis. Reduce the one-time money in general fund support for Vision Zero by that same amount and reallocate that to the Portland Police Bureau to backfill the reduction in funding the service coordination team on a one-time basis so that we can reevaluate it next year.
Do we have a motion?
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Saltzman.
So discussion, Mayor?
Yes, and I wanted to ask a question of my colleagues. It's my understanding from what we heard from Director Scott and legal counsel that we can change these things. The reason I'm asking is there are some representatives of the police bureau representing the service coordination team who asked if they could testify on behalf of that program. We could either do it now or we could hold off and wait till all the amendments are on the table.
I think it would be
a regular order, ma'am.
Very good. Commissioner Fish, did you have another
comment? So here's my question. I want to make sure I understand all the moving pieces. So under this amendment, the ongoing money that is currently proposed to go to service coordination team would go to Vision Zero. And what resources would be used to backfill service coordination team for the next fiscal year?
The one-time money, which is currently allocated to Vision Zero. All that I'm proposing is just to switch it.
And so under this amendment, we would have in the next fiscal year a discussion about whether to fund service coordination team with one-time money or to find ongoing money to make it sustainable.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I'll just remind the council, I've been one of the council's most solid supporters of the service coordination team. It just seems to me that at this time, Vision Zero is the more urgent funding.
Can I ask the sponsor one other question? And I appreciate what you said earlier about your intent when you went to the voters on the marijuana tax. We could have a longer discussion about who said what at council, and I think there were a number of themes that were expressed, but does this amendment, for purposes of this budget, satisfy your concerns about how the marijuana money is distributed for purposes of this budget?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mayor, just to clarify, since you are sitting as the Budget Committee, any member of the Budget Committee can ask city staff to come up and speak to a particular issue.
And they will have that opportunity. I just wanted to know from my colleagues whether they wanted to do it now or wait until afterwards.
I would say that we would bring them up first when we go to testimony since they are on duty.
Very good. And I will just note that I was not aware of this at the time, but I am now made aware that the service coordination team was actually one of the parts of the agreement that we agreed to with the Department of Justice under the reforms of the Police Bureau. So the question of whether it will be funded long term is, I think, intimately linked to the question of maintaining the integrity of the agreement between the city and the Department of Justice. And I want to be very clear and on the record, regardless of what happens in Washington, D.C., we are going to continue to be supportive of those agreements.
Mayor, can I just make one
observation? Commissioner Fish, yes.
We have, in past years, sometimes because of budget shortfalls, funded council priorities, long-term priorities with one-time money, with the understanding that when ongoing money was available, we'd make the conversion. My vote today in no way, I'm a huge supporter of SCT, whether it's in the Justice Department settlement or not. And Commissioner Fritz and I and Commissioner Saltzman have been on this council long enough to remember when this actually was controversial and it was criticized as an approach. It now has demonstrated its worthiness. In deciding the question about whether we use one-time or ongoing money, in no way in my vote will that be a reflection on whether I want to see this as a long-term commitment of the council?
Very good. Any further comment? Commissioner Udaly?
I'd just like to add that I hope in future years we can have a more in-depth conversation about how the marijuana tax will be utilized, and I will have some questions about SCT when those representatives come up. I'm certainly an enthusiastic supporter of diversion. I just appreciate the intent of this amendment.
Okay. Call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, colleagues. Aye.
Wheeler?
I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for going around and around on this with me and coming up with what I think is a very good pragmatic solution, with the caveat I mentioned earlier. So I want to thank you in particular for your hard work on this amendment. Aye. The amendment is adopted. Next item.
Thank you, colleagues. And this is a related one, which involves myself and Commissioner Udaly partnering to discuss that remaining $500,000 of ongoing money. And this is a motion to add Attachment D to Attachment D to add the following budget note. The financial year 2017-18 budget includes $500,000 in recreational marijuana tax revenue to be allocated via a participatory budgeting process to be managed by the City Budget Office with guidance from Commissioners Udaly and Fritz. The project managers will implement the process using the participatory budget project's guidelines and shall report to Council by November 30th of 2017 on their progress. Funding allocated through this process will go towards the following, which is the bucket, the third purpose that I mentioned in my last discussion. Support for neighborhood small businesses, especially women-owned and minority-owned businesses, including but not limited to business incubator programs, management training, and job training opportunities, and providing economic opportunity and education to communities disproportionately impacted by cannabis prohibition.
I'll second this. I have a question of the sponsor.
Commissioner Fritz moves. Commissioner Fish seconds. Commissioner Fish.
So the way I read this is we're carving out the $500,000 for the next budget year. There'll be a participatory budgeting process, something that I know both the mayor and Commissioner Fritz have wanted to pursue and fine-tune. The budget office will manage it, which means that all members of the council can kibitz, but it will receive guidance from two commissioners who will be guiding the process. And then at such time as there are recommendations, they will come back to the council for a vote. Is that correct?
Correct.
And just speaking for myself, I would hope that when you come back to the council, there's a menu of options that can be reviewed and not just an option, but that's for your consideration since you are guiding the process.
Commissioner, I would expect it to be rather like the special appropriations process that we've had before, only using community members as well as City Council staff members.
So, for example, for those who haven't gone through that process, sometimes we have more asks than dollars, and we have to weigh tough choices. But I would welcome having more asks than are available dollars so the council can deliberate.
That's a good point. The other thing I'll note is that this is ongoing money, and one of the things I'd like to see is some things need funding sooner rather than later. Some things may be needed more later, so that we would, as Commissioner Udaly asked, have a discussion about the marijuana tax each budget cycle, because we are bound by the bond measure language. I'm not the bond measure, the tax measure language, to have a specific vote on the uses of that tax.
Okay, very good. Any further questions or discussion? Please call the roll, Carla.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
I'm really excited about this participatory budget process. I think it hopefully will be the first of many. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thanks to Teresa Marchetti and her team in the cannabis program management in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, who have been amazing setting this up. Thank you to the Cannabis Policy Advice Policy Oversight Team, who will doubtless be engaged in this process. And thank you in particular to State Senator Lou Frederick and Jesse Horton, the president of the Minority Cannabis Business Association, who put in arguments in favor into our ballot measure, specifically calling out these necessary purposes. Aye.
Wheeler.
I love this amendment, and in particular, I've been looking for a good opportunity for us to engage in participatory budgeting. And I think with Commissioner Fritz and Udaly at the helm of this process, It will be just what Commissioner Udaly hinted at, the first of many opportunities to go directly to the public and hear from communities that are directly impacted by budgetary and policy decisions we make, and having them not only sitting at the table but actually making the decisions on how resources are allocated. I vote aye. The amendment's adopted.
Thank you. Plowing on, the next motion is to add a budget note, which will say, Council directs the City Budget Office to evaluate funding levels for the Commissioner's Office's budget relative to the Mayor's Office and make recommendations to adjust funding levels as appropriate. This may include, but is not limited to, establishing the appropriate ratio of Commissioner's Office budgets to the Mayor's Office budget. This evaluation should be complete and submitted to Council for consideration by November 30th of 2017 in preparation for the financial year 2018-19 budget.
Second.
Commissioner Fritz moves. Commissioner Fish seconds. Questions or comments?
So,
Commissioner
Saltzman. What is the intent behind this or the rationale behind it?
Well, I think the size of the mayor's office in particular has been something that has gone up and down in the three mayors that I've served under. Mayor Hales had half as many staff as Mayor Adams, and I think found that very difficult to manage. So Mayor Wheeler is, in my opinion, rightly adding three commissioner's assistant positions in his office. And there was some suggestion, well, some of us are really working and scrambling very hard to make to do all the work that we're assigned, and perhaps there should be a ratio to trigger that, both as a way to make future mayors who set the proposed budget think about how much staff they actually need in relation to the commissioner's offices, and to...
But each one of us, as an independently elected official, has the right to submit a budget that we believe we can defend.
Well, under Mayor Hales, as you remember, all of the commissioner's offices' funding was set similarly. And we went away from the practice of previous administrations of allowing commissioner's offices to pull funding for staff members in their office from their bureaus, which really amplified the difference between having big bureaus assigned or small bureaus assigned, because commissioners in charge of big bureaus could have their staff people amplified by the big bureaus, where the small bureau directors could not.
May I offer a comment?
Thank you.
Commissioner Fish?
The reason I'm going to support this amendment is it does not compel us to make any changes in our budget or in how we allocate resources. It simply asks for an assessment and some recommendations. And in conversations I've had with the budget office, I'm persuaded that we ought to at least have this conversation about whether there is a ratio between what the mayor's office has in terms of budget and commissioner's offices. I will be free to reject whatever recommendations come out of that process, but I actually think that is an appropriate inquiry. And I look forward to a conversation, and we may decide to take no further action. I see no harm in having that assessment.
I'll throw my comments into the pile as well. This is an evaluation, and I never think that an evaluation is a harmful thing. So I support the amendment as drafted. I will say that different mayors have had different managerial styles and have chosen, as Commissioner Fritz said, to staff at different levels. Mayor Adams had, I believe, over 20 people actually working in his office. Mayor Hales made a commitment to significantly reduce that, which he did. And it was my observation and the observation of many that, particularly since he took the bureaus back at the front, he was way behind the ball, and his administration was overwhelmed with the number of issues that they had to deal with. We have more on staff now, but we have a huge amount of work that we need to get done, and it's my observation that as the presiding officer, if we get backlogged, that actually slows down the commissioner's offices as well in terms of important policy implementation. So I certainly welcome the evaluation. I think it's a good idea.
Mayor, one other comment, if I could?
Yeah, please.
During my tenure on this board, when we were in the teeth of a recession, this council, for example, opted not to take a COLA. From time to time, members of this council have underspent and returned savings to the Treasury. So again, my support of this does not in any way indicate that I think we should limit the right of each council office to make its own decisions about how much it spends on what, whether to return money, whether to accept a COLA. That is in the discretion of the of each office. This is an evaluation, though, as to whether there should be some connection between the level of staffing and funding at the mayor's office and commissioner's offices. I actually think that's a long overdue discussion.
Very good. Any further comments or conversation? Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I think each commissioner and the mayor are free to design their own budget, and if they can defend it with their colleagues and the voters and the public, then more power to them. But I think this is really the first step in sort of an automatic process where commissioners' budgets and mayor's budgets are going to grow staff without any other reason than the ratio looks good or the ratio looks fine. I think these decisions should be made by the council as a budget body, should scrutinize our office budgets, as should the budget office, as should the public, and we should be free to staff according to what we think really meets the needs of our offices. I really think this is trying to set up an automatic formula that's just going to escalate budget off our offices, and I don't think it's necessary. No.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
I want to throw my caution here as well. And first of all, I support the amendment and I support the evaluation. But Commissioner Saltzman just hinted at a potential problem, which is what happens if you have a mayor who really doesn't know how to manage an operation and, in fact, eviscerates their budget to the point where they don't have the ability to manage effectively. That slows them down. It slows you down. It slows the whole city. So I would actually put on the record now, I oppose any hard and fast formulaic approach to budgeting. That is always a bad idea, in my opinion. But I like the idea of the evaluation. I think we should have it. It should be an open and transparent conversation. If for no other reason than that I received many questions from many different quarters about our budget vis-a-vis the commissioner's office budgets. And so I think these are legitimate questions to evaluate. I vote aye. The amendment's adopted.
Thank you. Moving on, I've just got a few left. This next amendment, number 5, is to amend Attachment D, specifically the budget notes on funding youth bus pass. And I know we have people who are going to want to testify on this. So the budget note would now say, the city is providing $967,000 for the youth bus pass, again, in financial year 2017-18, even though providing transportation to high school students is not a causative function. Council declares its belief that the program should only be available to high school students who qualify for free or reduced lunch price lunch within the city of Portland, including those who attend Park Rose and David Douglas High Schools. Council directs that the $967,000 be allocated to the 3 districts based on the number of students qualifying for free or reduced price lunch, and the city asks the school boards of each district to utilize the funds in a manner that provides transit access to vulnerable students. Furthermore, Council directs the Portland Bureau of Transportation to complete an independent, objective analysis of TriMet's actual costs associated with the program, either through increased expenses or foregone revenue.
Is there a second?
I'll second for the purpose of discussion.
Commissioner Fritz moves. Commissioner Udaly seconds for the purpose of discussion. Any further questions or conversation?
So,
Commissioner Udaly?
Yes.
Then Commissioner Fish?
I think this is going to be the one item that we're not in total agreement on. I want to acknowledge the hard work that Opal's youth advocates put into this effort, Youth Environmental Justice Alliance and the Multnomah Youth Commission. They really brought their A game to our community budget sessions. And I would ask that instead of allocating the money as described, holding it and holding a work session that includes those voices, because I strongly feel that the youth should have a voice in this, that they may have some important input that we haven't considered. And one of my concerns about this allocation is that I've heard that these smaller districts don't necessarily have matching funds to put into youth pass. Right now, we do a third, right, with the school district, the city, and TriMet giving a discount. And so they may not be able to leverage those dollars the same way as PPS can. And we just might be able to come up with a better solution.
I would actually suggest take that as a friendly amendment, as if the amount is the same, 967,000, and there be a work session with the school boards and the youth to decide how to divide that up. That's a different conversation than we've been asked, which is pay for it in Portland as public schools as well as in David Douglas and Park Rose.
Can I ask a question? Because that would be my inclination as well here. But Andrew, historically, when we've budgeted for this, when did the school district start to draw down the money in the fiscal year?
I don't know the exact answer in terms of when they get the funding. I believe the bus passes are available starting in September.
So they're not used for any summer-related academic programs?
I don't believe so.
But to be clear, sign-ups, I believe, start July 1st.
That may be.
So conceivably, we could agree to set the money aside and try to have a more robust policy discussion before we allocate it and still meet the September deadline?
I think so. We would need to check with the districts. There certainly is a time constraint there in terms of moving quickly. Whether there's time to do so, you know, sooner rather than later, that may be available.
Well, with the caveat that we may not be able to have the process we want given the timing, the friendly amendment or the amendment to the amendment has my support, because I think there are a lot of I think the devil's in the details, and I have some real questions about how this would actually work. I also have a question about whether we're being too restrictive in saying free or reduced price lunch. There are working class kids whose parents fall just over that boundary who I think may ought to be considered. I think that is a conversation we ought to have outside of the budget process. So I would urge us, Mayor, to accept the amendment to the amendment, segregate the money, set the money aside, and then figure out what our timeline is for a policy discussion.
So may I just try again with an amended amendment?
Yeah, please.
So the city is funding, providing $967,000 for the youth bus pass, again, in financial year 17-18, even though providing transportation to high school students is not a core city function. Council declares its belief that the program should only be available to high school students who qualify for free or reduced lunch within the city of Portland. We could delete that as well. Yeah. Council allocates it to districts within the city of Portland, including those attending Park Rose and David Douglas. Council directs that the $967,000 be allocated to the three districts in a manner that provides transit access to vulnerable students. And then finishing off with the PBOT analysis. Does that meet your intent, or do I have to put in something about a work session or something?
Well,
I'd like a work session.
Let me just see if I can make it even simpler.
Yeah. Go for it.
I think for purposes of today, all we have to do is say that we're going to spend $967,000 on youth bus pass, and simply, but also say that we will determine how that money is allocated based on a work session and further council action. I'm not comfortable putting any sideboards on this, because I want to have that conversation first.
That's fine. Yeah, sounds good.
Andrew, how would you say that?
So
in budget ease.
Yeah. If we start with the first sentence again. So the city is providing $967,000 for the youth bus pass again in fiscal year 2017-18, even though providing transportation to high school students is not a core city function. Council expresses its intent to hold a work session to discuss the allocation of this funding.
And to be followed by some council action which appropriates the money. So the work session would be for the purpose of reviewing our options, but then we would have to affirmatively come forward with the policy guidance to how the money is spent. Right?
Yes, there would need to be a further action.
Commissioner Fritz, is that satisfactory?
Yes, I do want to include specifically saying Portland Public Schools 1J, Park Rose, and David Douglas High Schools. Because I can no longer vote for the entire amount of money to go to just Portland Public Schools.
So we're setting aside $967,000 to fund transportation services to high school students in those three school districts.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're expressing, but we will not. The allocation will be subject to a work session and further council action. All right.
Agreed.
Does that state your amendment,
Brilliant.
Colleague?
Second.
Yes. So if you're ready to read back the language, or we can move on to the next amendment and come back.
Yeah, I think we'll
Can we do that? Just put this on hold for a moment?
Let's make it as simple as possible.
Yeah. On hold. Okay, Commissioner Fritz.
Setting the money aside and then making the policy choices later.
And for anybody who thinks that things are already cooked up before we get out here in public, I think you've just seen that that is not the case. And thank you, Commissioner Daly. That's a good strengthening of this of the program. Motion 6 is to amend Attachment D to add the following budget note on open and accountable elections program. The city's public matching campaign finance program is to be implemented in time for the 2020 election. Council directs the City Budget Office to conduct an analysis of the staffing and operational needs of the program and report back to Council with recommended funding levels for financial year 17-18 and beyond. City Budget Office is also directed to make a recommendation as to the appropriate location of this function, in other words, of the program.
I'll second that.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Any further comments?
Well, just to be clear, in the amended that's on the table, there is $250,000 to get this program started.
Correct. Thank you for that clarification. Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Are you ready? Should we go on to the... Why are we going to 7?
Keep going.
Okay, my last one. Thank you for your patience, everybody. Motion to amend Attachment D to add the following budget note. The Office for Community Technology, OCT, is currently a division of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. Council directs the City Budget Office to engage an external consultant that will evaluate options and make recommendations to Council on the optimal location and structure for the Office for Community Technology within the City's organizational framework.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Fish. Any further discussion on this item?
Well, for the two of you who weren't here last term, this was something that moved because of the budget. When the former director of the Office for Community Technology retired, partly for savings, this program was put into the Revenue Office, but there was never an external objective evaluation of what's the best location and structure for it.
Okay, very good. Is there a cost component to this that has to be accounted for?
Yes, to the extent we move forward with an external consultant, I think there would be a cost. And one of the things we would need to work through that, and hopefully we'd be able to do that before the adopted budget in three weeks. To figure out.
So you'll come back to us with recommendations.
Mayor, I'm perfectly comfortable with your office absorbing this cost.
Thank you for your generosity, Commissioner Fish. I appreciate it.
Did you say you're going to come back and in 3 weeks with this evaluation?
No.
With a cost estimate as to what an external evaluation. For all the amendments have to have an identified source of funding, and I didn't see it.
Currently it does not have a source of funding. Okay. That would be one of my concerns.
Very good. Any further conversations or discussion around this item? Very good. Please call the roll, Carla.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler.
Hi. The amendment is adopted. And how are you guys doing on your drafting on the fly?
I think we're good.
Got a proposal?
Maybe we should do Udaly and then come back.
Why don't we do that? We'll go ahead and finish. And then Commissioner Saltzman, you also have a couple of amendments. Commissioner Udaly?
So I'm making a motion to increase or restore the funding for Prosper Portland Small Business Growth Program, which reads as Prosper Portland, allocate $87,500 of one-time general fund resources to Prosper Portland to fund a second cohort of small business owners in Prosper Portland's Increase project. The funding source for this add will be an $87,500 one-time reduction to general fund contingency. Amend attachments B, C, and E as necessary.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Udaly, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Any further conversation?
I'd just like to add that I heard from a number of constituents, including Business for a Better Portland, which is a new small business advocacy group in the city, and Coalitions for Community of Color, who both expressed their desire to see this funding restored. They're small grants for, I believe, women and minority business owners, and they can really make a significant difference in a fledgling business.
Very good. And I would just add to the commentary, this is actually a very good program, and it was offered up by the PDC as part of its 5% reduction package. Any further comments or questions? Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaley.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to offer an amendment to restore the summer parks program in Brooklyn Park. I think we heard a lot of testimony at our budget hearings about the impact of this program. And Brooklyn is a unique neighborhood where its park really is kind of the center of the neighborhood, and I'd like to see us for $10,000 maintain the staffing for a summer program there.
How much?
$10,000.
I'll second that.
I have no idea. This has not been raised with me, or has it been raised with you, Matt Wheeler?
I know what the program is because I had to go through the budget line item by line item. But why don't you explain what it is?
Oh, it's to provide staff to have a summer in the parks program in the Brooklyn Park.
So the
summer free for all, I think, is what it's formally called by the Parks Bureau.
It's still summer free for all in the areas that have a significant number of children getting free school lunches from the school districts. When Commissioner Fish started this program, or at least greatly enhanced it during the recession, he did a lot of fundraising every year to add, I think it was $150,000 overall, to have the programs in most parks in the city. Every year we've fallen short of being able to do that amount of fundraising, and so this was a right-sizing of the Summer Free-for-All program. And I don't know what the cost of doing it is or what the logistics of doing it would be.
Well, the figures we got from the Parks Bureau, $10,000 is roughly the staff cost for the summer program. And as I said, we did hear a lot of public testimony in support of this program. I think the park in Brooklyn neighborhood is the center of the neighborhood. And I think for $10,000, it's a good investment.
Dan, can I ask you something? Could you give us a preview of your second amendment?
No, that is, I don't have a second amendment.
So that's your only request?
Yeah, that is the amendment, yes.
Commissioner Fritz, assuming that you continue as Parks Commissioner, does this alter in any way your planning over the next year in terms of services at Brooklyn?
I can't answer that, Commissioner, because although Mike Abate can testify to it if the council agrees to put this on the table, the challenge is that Brooklyn is a relatively affluent neighborhood these days. That's why it's no longer getting the free program, because it's become more affluent. So I'm troubled by the concept of, because one lot of neighbors came in and asked for it back, will that continue until we're back up to it being whoever has enough time to go to meetings to get a program in their park?
Andrew, can I ask you a question? Because I'm thinking of something you said during our budget process, I just want to be clear about. And that was, notwithstanding whatever earmark we make on funds, I think you reminded us that the commissioner in charge has broad discretion as to how to spend the funds. Is that correct?
Yeah, generally speaking, that's true, yes.
So Commissioner Saltzman is proposing, in effect, to add $10,000 to the Parks Bureau budget with an advisory recommendation about how the money be spent, but the commissioner in charge makes that decision.
Well, I think
council intent matters too, though.
Yeah, I think council intent has some bearing on this. And, you know, we've heard lots of people come to budget hearings to testify for their issue, and they get funded. I mean, Open Signal is probably the best example. We just funded Open Signal because they turned out in force at our budget hearing. I think we should give the same respect to a neighborhood and its young people who organize on behalf of their summer program in the park in what I think is a very important neighborhood in the city. So I think the same rationale applies, that council can provide some intent as to how a bureau spends a certain amount of funds, especially if we're providing the funds through a contingency tap.
Would these funds come from the contingency?
That was actually going to be my clarifying question. Yes.
Yes.
So, and Commissioner, was that one time or ongoing funding?
One time.
And Commissioner Fritz, are there other neighborhoods that don't have these programs?
Yes, and indeed some that don't have it because of the right sizing of the program. Mike Abate can talk to this if council wants to put it on the table.
Okay.
Any further questions or discussion? Please call the roll.
Fish?
Dan, I appreciate you bringing this forward, but after listening to the conversation, I do have a concern about funding this without a context. And this program has been scaled back over time because of resources, and so we're doing a little bit of triage. And I would entertain a subsequent request for one-time funding if there was a basis. I don't know enough, really, to support this. I appreciate you bringing it forward. No.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Well, it's hard to vote against funding a summer program, but I'm kind of in the same position to Commissioner Fish. If there is extra money to be had, I'd want to first look at which neighborhoods were most in need, and it doesn't sound like Brooklyn would make that cut necessarily. No.